This is WGRE 91.5 FM, Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening, and welcome to a new season of Music for Life, Music from DePauw. This week, in our first show of the 13-14 academic year, we introduce you to some new folks here in the School of Music, including Bonnie Whiting and Patrick Evans. Student producer Anna Gadula tells us about her summer abroad. You get a preview of the stellar group of guest artists we're bringing to DePauw this year. And one of our own stars, beloved piano professor Claude Zimmerman, talks to us about a bittersweet upcoming performance. There are lots of exciting things going on in the DePauw School of Music, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. A few years ago, we began a guest artist series here at DePauw to bring the best and brightest around the world to Greencastle, Indiana to perform for our School of Music and our community. The audience response has been absolutely overwhelming. Our guests this year have accumulated 16 Grammys between them. Over the next two shows, we'll be telling you about each of these remarkable guests, and we hope that you'll find us online at depauw.edu/music and order your tickets today. Fernando Otero defies description. I'm not certain even how to introduce this gentleman because he is a Latin Grammy winner for Best Classical Composer. He's also a jazz pianist. He has a Tango Nueve band. He plays in a sextet, a quintet, a quartet. He does solo concerts. He has a video out on MTV. This guy is just all over the map on the types of music that he plays. And he's coming here with his quartet on Friday night, October the 11th. And he's going to really open our ears and our eyes to the wide variety of music that he brings from both sides of the equator here. Lives in New York now, and phenomenal talent, a very profound musician. He has great things to say, and I think that's why he blurs the genres so much, is because his ideas can't fit into a single genre or a single ensemble. A phenomenal pianist, a great composer, and a brilliant musician, Fernando Otero.
Thank you.
Joining me in the studio is our newest faculty member at DePauw, a percussion instructor replacing Dr. Amy Barber, who is on sabbatical. And we searched the world over and we found the perfect person to come in and take this job, and that is Bonnie Whiting. Welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you.
It's interesting that we contacted the three leading percussionists in higher education today, and they all recommended you. You come, we feel like we hit the home run bringing you here.
Well, I'm pretty excited myself. Well, it's great to be here.
We're happy to have you. You've got a lot of stuff going on already. You moved here from the University of Fairbanks, right?
Yeah, University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Right.
That's in Alaska.
Yeah, the weather's a little different.
A little bit. Yeah, it's already below freezing there, according to my friends.
Oh, and it's going to be 85 here. Do you Facebook them with temperature, you know?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. They're jealous, yeah, for sure.
So you just got in over the summer. I mean, you've been, what, 2-3 weeks here now?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
And, of course, as a percussionist, you have all kinds of stuff that comes with you. So is that all safely ensconced in the music school now?
It is. I brought a truckload of equipment with me, and it's been set up, and I've been working on it.
So you're the typical percussionist that has a little van for your house and then this giant van for all of your percussion equipment?
Is absolutely. A lot more instruments than personal equipment. Yeah.
Right. So what will you be teaching here?
I am going to be taking over most of the percussion department, so teaching applied private lessons. I'm going to be heading up the percussion ensemble, which is a group of just percussionists that plays chamber music together. I'm also teaching a music appreciation class for students outside of the music department. I'm really excited about that. And in the spring semester, I will be teaching a course on one of my personal heroes and inspirations, American composer John Cage.
So we're going to have you back toward the end of the semester, or the first part of the next semester, to delve in detail about that John Cage thing, because that's going to be really exciting.
Great.
And it's wonderful to have you here on campus and be able to bring that expertise to us. So before we find out specifically what's going on with you this semester, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've done, where you've been, what are you up to? Because you're into a lot of interesting types of percussion.
Yeah, as a percussionist, you have to wear many hats. But one thing I'm most excited about right now is music for speaking percussionists. And that's exactly what it sounds like. There's a lot of music being written for percussionists who want to play their instruments and speak at the same time. Now, that might mean that you're telling a story or you're reciting poetry, or it's even a little bit more abstract. So a lot of my work has been generating new repertoire for speaking percussionists. And what's really exciting about that field is that it takes the world of experimental contemporary music, which I've always loved, but made it really accessible. So if you, say, come to one of my solo recitals, what you'll hear is something kind of like a percussionist telling a story and making a really engaging evening, almost like an evening in the theater.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful mix. When speaking percussion is so unlike anything we've come to be used to as audience members, because it engages us on two levels. We have the musical, the visceral response to the music, but then we also have this verbal response. And even when it's in a foreign language, it's very fascinating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so you're performing on our first recital hour. Are you doing some speaking percussion with
that? I am. I'm playing a piece by Frederick Zhevsky. It's called To the Earth. And the poetry involved is a Homeric hymn. So it's not a poem that was written by Homer, but was falsely attributed to him. But this is this beautiful hymn or prayer to the earth. And the instrumentation that I play upon is actually just 4 terracotta flower pots.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's a very beautiful, meditative, quiet percussion piece.
Thank you.
And then, will you be performing other than recital hour? I know that we've got some percussion ensemble concerts. Tell us about your performance schedule with us here at DePaul.
The percussion ensemble is giving three concerts this year. There's going to be a spring concert and a fall concert in our regular large concert hall. And there's a concert I'm really excited about happening over at the Peeler Art Gallery. And that's a concert we're still working on programming. But the point is to interact somewhat with the exhibit that is going to be installed in there. And so that particular concert is on April 30th. It's a 6:30 p.m. concert. And the name of the exhibit that is going to be there is called Persian Visions. And it's a whole bunch of contemporary Iranian photography. And I've seen the booklet and it's just incredible. I can't wait to program around it. So that's going to be kind of a non-traditional event, but a pretty short concert. You'll get to get up close and personal with the instruments and really see what it is that percussionists do.
My kids love that. I take my kids to that because they're sitting so close to the instruments and the audience is right among the ensemble. So it's experiencing music at all, but percussion ensemble in particular, in a way that you would never experience it otherwise. And so you're really immersed in the art, both the visual and the aural art involved there.
Yeah, and the fall concert is going to be on the 23rd of November at 7:30 p.m. And that's a Saturday concert, which is, I think, a new thing this year that the School of Music is trying to do, is have a few more events on the weekends. And just so you can mark your calendars, on the 10th of April, also at 7:30, not a Saturday,
right?
Thursday.
Yeah, and the Saturday concerts are great because the parents, you know, who often come from great distances can come in and they don't get to check in that often. And of course, we try to broadcast a lot of them on WGRE Live, and we also feature them regularly on Music for Life. So we'll make sure everybody's out there and aware of the good things that percussionists are up to.
Great.
Well, we're looking forward to a great year here, and we're glad we convinced you to come out of the beautiful frozen tundra and visit us here in balmy Indiana, and we hope you have a great year.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure so far.
Hi, I'm Joe Flummerfelt, and you're listening to Music for Life.
Of course, the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra is always the bedrock of our guest artist series. And what we're thrilled about this year with the ISO is that they will perform with us twice, once in each semester, and both times with their principal conductor, Christoph Urbanski, here in Greencastle at DePauw with the ISO. Then, to top it all off, they're bringing a great guest both times. One of my favorite pianists, Garrick Olson, will be here to perform in the first concert, which actually kicks off our guest artist series. It's Sunday, September 29th at 3 p.m. Christoph Urbanski and Garrick Olson. And then they come back and kick off our second semester as well when they come to perform on Sunday, February 9th at 3 p.m., this time with the worldwide violin phenom Stefan Jackow, who is an incredible violinist who has performed around the world and with every major American symphony. He will be here with the ISO at DePauw. They are the twin pillars of our concert series. They open up both semesters, and we couldn't do this without featuring Indiana's great orchestra and one of America's great orchestras, the Indianapolis Symphony. Our listeners know Anna Gatdula as one of our student producers and sometimes host for the Student Corner. She's joining us now on the other side of the microphone because you had an interesting summer. Welcome to the studio, by the way.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Yeah. So I hear you had an amazing summer.
Yes, I did. I actually spent my summer in Italy.
Ah, and doing what? You weren't just sightseeing.
No, I wasn't. I was doing a summer opera program, a pay-to-sing program called La Musica Lirica. It's based in Novafeltria, Italy, which is in the region of Milla Romagna.
And what did you do?
Well, every day from 8 to 12, we had Italian language lessons, which is a lot.
8 a.m.?
Yes, 8 a.m. to 12 noon, with a 30-minute break, but that was, you know, it's a lot of Italian, and
By a native speaker,
mm-hmm. And we needed it because we were Americans, and in this small town of Italy, nobody really spoke English, so we had to learn how to get by, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then after a lunch break, you would have either opera rehearsals or voice lessons or Italian diction coachings with Italian coaches. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. And then towards the end of the program, we had student recitals every week. And we had master classes.
Ah, and how long was the entire?
The entire program was 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So you got a lot of Italian.
Yes, I did, actually.
So are you feeling fluent these days? Or?
Well, I just ran back here from my Italian class, and it seems that I've still got it down for the most part. Just got to relearn some verb tenses, you know.
So was there anything surprising about this summer?
The Italian coaches were phenomenal because all they said was, oh, your vowel isn't Italian enough. And so, you know, they would make you fix your vowels, but then it would make your whole sound just become bigger and just like sit right. And all they would say was, oh, you don't sound Italian. That's not the Italian vowel. You're like, you sound too American right now. So that's all they had to say. And then suddenly it just like flipped to the right space. And then it just kind of clicked. And all they had to say was, that's the wrong vowel.
Were you exhausted? I mean, did you have time to see Italy at all? Or were you just nose to the grindstone the whole time?
We definitely had downtime. And in our downtime, we had a day trip in Florence and a day trip in Venice, but for the most part, you know, your days were busy, and on the weekends you could maybe go to the beach if you didn't have a Saturday rehearsal like that. But it was a lot of hard work and a lot of cool people that I met.
Yeah. And what prompted you to do this? How did you come upon it?
Well, a lot of previous DePauw alums have done the program. Mm-hmm. Eric Erlandson did it 2 years ago. Lucas Wassmer did it last year, and they both recommended it to me. And I had wanted to do a study abroad summer program, mm-hmm. because as a voice student, it was very hard for me to schedule everything in and include a semester abroad. Mm-hmm. So I took this opportunity to get the study abroad experience, but still graduate in 4 years.
Right. So your semester abroad was a summer semester.
Yes, yes, right. It was.
Well, we're glad that you're back from Italy.
Thank you.
We look forward to you keeping... Yes, grazie. And we look forward to your keeping your singing hat on, but also picking up your student producer hat for Music for Life.
Got it ready.
All right, and we're looking forward to a great season.
Thank you.
We have a new staff member in the School of Music this year. Joining us as Associate Director of Music Admission is Patrick Evans. Welcome.
Thanks. Very glad to be here.
Patrick is an interesting choice for this position because he actually has experience as a tenured professor, having a DMA in vocal performance, correct?
Right.
And having been a tenured professor and having worked at the University of Delaware and at Yale University, and now here helping us recruit future musicians into our School of Music. So welcome to DePauw.
Thanks. That's been great.
So what have you been up to?
Well, I've been up to reaching out to all of the students who have expressed interest in DePauw and who expressed that they play an instrument or they sing, mm-hmm. and has expressed an interest in being a music major. Mm-hmm. I've written to them and let them know about coming to visit campus. And when they come to visit campus, they could have a sample lesson and meet with faculty.
We really roll out the red carpet.
We do. They sit in on classes. And sometimes on some of our audition dates, we have overnights when they actually stay with a student and get a real experience of what life is like on campus.
And Music for Life, our radio show, goes out on WGRE on Sunday nights to our local audience over the radio, but is also available as a podcast. And many of our prospective students hear this because they can access it on their phones or listen to it live on the internet or on the web or however they want to go about it. And they might be surprised to know there's a whole lot of stuff going on that they're welcome to.
Absolutely. In my initial contacts with all of the students and their parents, we have this guest artist series, mm-hmm. and we're inviting high school band directors, orchestra directors, choir directors, private instrument teachers, and their students and their families, mm-hmm. and high school counselors to come to any of these concerts for free.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, because you think about, a lot of our folks come from Chicago, so if they would have taken their family to hear Bobby McFerrin when he was doing it in Chicago, they would have spent a whole lot more than the free that we,
absolutely.
That we provide for them. And it's also interesting the way in which we gather students. So, for example, a lot of people just contact us. Hey, we know about DePaul. We know what's going on. We want to be a part of that. And you meet a lot of these folks in a lot of interesting ways.
I do. I will be traveling around to high schools. And also, in addition to school visits, there are college fairs. Mm-hmm. I went to several this summer. Brevard Music Center met some great young musicians, some of whom are seniors, some of whom are juniors, sophomores, who have expressed interest and have been communicating with them.
Mm-hmm. At Interlochen? You were at
Interlochen. The Eastern Music Festival. I'll be going back to Interlochen in October, mm-hmm. and I'll be at performing arts fairs in Interlochen, Chicago, Minneapolis, Cincinnati, and St. Louis. Mm-hmm. In addition to all of that, the Indianapolis Symphony is having mock auditions on September 14th. Where high school students come and play for a panel of judges who give them feedback. Mm-hmm. And we have several faculty members who are going to that event as judges. Uh-huh. So they'll make connections with high school students in the area who play stringed instruments, any orchestral instruments, percussion. And I'll be there with a table and our materials to talk to parents and that sort of thing.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. It really is. You know, it's kind of interesting because we catch them on Facebook, and we catch them on Twitter, and we catch them here in Indiana. We catch them all around the country. And it's quite a piece of work to assemble the incoming freshman class.
It's a lot of work, and it's intense work. There's no doubt about that. But it's really enjoyable work, mm-hmm. because I went to a very large graduate school. Mm-hmm. For a master's and doctorate, I went to Florida State, 1,200 students in the School of Music alone, which was a great experience. But my undergraduate was at a 2,500-student liberal arts university with a strong music program on a gorgeous campus where lots of interesting and exciting things were going on.
Right.
And that was where I was shaped and formed as a musician. So for me, this is really personal, helping someone choose the right place for them. Going to a small school where the faculty knew me made a huge difference, mm-hmm. in my life and set the path for my career as a performer and as a professor. Mm-hmm. And so it's really rewarding to tell people about the exciting things that are going on here, the way that we're training musicians for the 21st century, mm-hmm. and all of the faculty concerts, the student concerts, the guest artist series, and this fantastic building
that
we're in.
Place.
And it's a gorgeous place. It really does make a difference when you have the resources, when you're making music and learning in a space as beautiful as the Green Center.
Right. You know, I think in a way, we're all large university refugees.
Sure.
I mean, you know, we've all done that, and we've come back to this great small place where everybody knows your name, very few people are admitted, very few people get in, and that we have an intentionally undergraduate-only, small, personable place. Yeah. So good luck recruiting the class of 2018, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're also working on 19 and 20.
Right. So we're way ahead of our well. Yeah. Welcome to DePaul. We're glad to have you here, Patrick.
Thanks. One more thing really quick. Anybody who's listening, especially DePaul students, if you know students back at your high school who are interested in music, I'm Patrick Evans, all one word, at depaul.edu. And also Patrick at DePaul Music on Facebook. Would really love to get connected with prospective students on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll be reaching out to you, and I'm sure you'll get a notice on Facebook about Music for Life, and we look forward to having you here on campus, and we look forward to meeting you when you're here to audition, and good luck bringing those great people to us, Patrick.
Thanks very much. Mm-hmm.
The classical music world has changed dramatically in the past decade or so, and we're finding more and more this genreless concert and playing mixed types of music and bringing new audiences to classical music by coming out of our sacred halls and performing in rather unusual places. And all of that is evidenced in the work of our guest artists, and perhaps none more so than Turtle Island String Quartet, which was one of the first groups to really do this and to kind of blur the genre lines, because they're a string quartet, but they are playing jazz music instead of the traditional classical music. Not that they can't play traditional classical music, they often do that as well, but they're really known for their unusual arrangements and their transcriptions of jazz standards into four-string instruments. And they've been at this for quite a long time. They have a worldwide following. And this year they're doing something really interesting. They're touring with Nellie Mackay. Now, Nellie Mackay, depending on who you ask, might be referred to as an Irish folk singer. She might be referred to as a jazz singer. She might be referred to as a ukulele player. This lady does everything. She's got a great voice. She's a great personality. And Turtle Island has paired with her to bring an interesting take on the Great American Songbook and jazz and a wide variety of material. So Turtle Island by itself is absolutely an evening that you'll never forget. Pairing her with Nellie Mackay is just going to open their sound and their style even further. They will be with us on Thursday, November 14th, here in the Kresge Auditorium, a concert not to be missed. Thank you. We've been chatting with students about their summer experiences, and here to share with us an exciting time in Colorado are two of our singers, Emily Barnash and Joey Lepick. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
So you guys ran out west, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we what were. Was it? You weren't just singing at the mountains, I suppose. You were probably doing something.
Sometimes.
So what were you up to?
There's a big annual festival that happens in Aspen, Colorado every year, which is called the Aspen Music Festival. And a branch of that is the Aspen Opera Theater Company that we were both got to be a part of.
And how'd that happen?
There's an audition process, applications, auditions.
Did you submit a recorded audition? Did you fly out?
We both actually carpooled there to Chicago, where they auditioned at Northwestern University.
Uh-huh. So. And you both were admitted?
Yep.
Yes.
And you both did what?
Well, there are five operas, and this year I was part of Suor Angelica. I played Suor Dulcina and covered Suor Angelica.
Ah. And you?
I was involved in three out of the five operas. I was mostly just a chorus member, the kind of the background filler. But it was usually pretty involved, especially for Candide and a couple of Popea.
Ah, so yeah. What were the five? Candide, Suor Angelica.
Candide, Suor Angelica, Johnny Skeeky, Peter Grimes, and Popea.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
That is a lot. So what was your day like? What was a typical day?
Let's see, a horrible breakfast at our cafeteria. And then we would rehearse our scenes. We had a scenes masterclass each week. And so in the mornings, we would rehearse our scenes. Oh, after movement class, let's not forget. Mm-hmm. So we had like dance and that kind of stuff for 5 weeks. And then for the three last weeks, there was a combat class. So that was cool.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then, so we'd rehearse our scenes and then have coachings, then lunch, then coachings or more scenes or rehearsals for your main stage production.
Mm-hmm. And then how long did the show run? How long was each opera?
Three nights.
3 nights, yeah.
And were they one after the other? So you did one for 3 nights, and next week you did the next one, or how did that work?
They were pretty spread out, though they had to overlap with rehearsals because, I mean, there wasn't enough time.
Right.
So some people were in, like, running from rehearsal to rehearsal, mm-hmm. which was crazy.
Were you able to take in any of the Aspen Music Festival while you were there?
Yeah, a little bit. They had some very exciting guests there this year. They had Eric Owens, and they had Joyce DiDonato, and Renee Fleming didn't sing, but she did stop by for a few days.
Yeah,
and I did get to see her. She did stop by backstage of Popea, so we got to take pictures with her. But yeah, she didn't perform. But there were a lot of big guest artists.
So what was the most surprising? Was it what you expected? Was there anything new and exciting about this process?
For me, at least, I had a lot of expectations when I went in. Like, I really was there to perform, and I was most surprised that I got the most out of my lessons with Steve Smith. He's a professor at Northwestern, was previously at Juilliard, and I really learned a lot from him, and I got a lot out of my weekly voice lessons, so that was exciting.
How about you, Joey?
I studied with the same professor. We were both with Stephen Smith, and I think I got a similar experience. I really enjoyed working with him, and it was really informative for me. And I also really enjoyed the scenes concert. So I think that was probably one of the best experiences for me because I got to participate in 5 out of the 8 weeks.
Wow.
So I did 5 opera scenes while I was there. So it was a really busy summer for me, but it was really enjoyable at the same time.
So are you guys in opera scenes this fall here at DePaul?
Yep.
Yep.
What are you doing? You know yet?
I have a large part in the Corigliano scene, The Ghost of Versailles, playing Marie Antoinette.
Yes. John Corigliano is our composer in residence for Music of the 21st Century, and we're all putting together all of our materials for that, and you guys get to do the ghost. That's fantastic.
I have a small part in that, but I don't know the other opera scene I'm in yet. So.
Yeah, as this is recorded, this is the third day of classes, and we're partway into that, so we still have our work cut out for us, I guess. Well, thanks for coming in. I'm glad you guys had a great summer, and I look forward to hearing you throughout the semester.
Thank you.
Oh.
Music for Life started a couple of years ago here at DePauw, and our very first interview was with Claude Zimmerman, one of our piano faculty members here, a longtime famous face here at DePauw. He is coming back to join us, and for that we're very happy. But the reason that he's coming back to join us is one that doesn't make me very happy at all, and I'm not sure how he's managed to pull this off, but he's retiring. Now, I thought I had forced him to sign that lifetime contract, but he has lawyers better than mine, so he got out of it, and he's going to be able to retire, and this is his swan song. So he's kindly come in to chat about our final year together, at least for him as a faculty member. I'm sure he'll still be around campus and in the building, and we hope to hear him playing our pianos. But we welcome back to the studio Claude Zimmerman. Welcome back.
Hello.
So you win. You get to retire. After 40 years, we'll let you retire. But okay. That you just got in under the wire, I guess.
Well, I came for 2 years only.
You came for two and stayed for...
Yes, and for some reason, people were nice to me, and I enjoyed the place, and there was a new building almost finished, and then the sabbatical year came, so I'm not going to miss that, so that was 7 years, and I'm still here. I'm a fatalist. I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Well, it was certainly meant to be for
I believe in fatality, so... I have no complaint.
And I've heard you in the building in the wee hours, the morning hours, whenever hours, playing on the new Mosendorfer.
Oh, yes, what a joy.
And you're getting ready for a series of farewell concerts.
That's right.
So you have one with the orchestra, correct? One with the band. You have one solo and one duo, is that correct?
Duo, we're celebrating the 100th birthday of the... stormy premiere of The Rite of Spring.
So do you want me to stage the riot while you're performing? Would you like me to be in the audience and try to stir
and
some...
throw bombs and you have to fist fight some people. And
yeah, for those of you who aren't familiar with The Rite of Spring, when it was premiered 100 years ago, it caused a riot because no one had ever seen anything quite like it. It's music for this ballet.
Yeah. People don't know yet if it's the music who disturbed people, which was very avant-garde at the time, but... still today, I think, but it could be the ballet, mm-hmm. There was new steps, who knows.
And of course the music is so unusual for its time. It was it was life-shattering. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Bartok was around. I think Bartok was close, but it was not as spectacular. I mean, when I listen to The Rite of Spring today, it's still unbelievable.
It's got to be challenging to play this on two pianos. I mean, the orchestration, you know, those of us who know the orchestral version. Whoa.
I didn't think it was possible. And but the many people may not know that the original was composed for two pianos.
And was used in rehearsal that way, right?
Yeah, that was the only way. Debussy sat down with Stravinsky to read it. So Ravel, Debussy, they knew the score without having ever heard the orchestra version. And they knew something incredible was going to come out of Stravinsky's imagination. So I'm very happy to do it with Lorna Bedelian, who used to be on faculty here. We have played it before, so hopefully we don't have to rehearse too much.
Hopefully you remember it, yeah.
Yeah. I did play my own transcription for solo, which still hurt my finger. But
oh my gosh, I can't imagine you could do it with one piano. What do you use your feet to?
No. Lot of pedal and simplification. But,
wow. So on Wednesday,
September 4
is the kickoff of our Faculty Select series, which features Claude. And this is in a solo recital. Then we go to the Grieg Concerto.
With a symphony, an exciting piece. So there's a great interview with Rubinstein, who didn't want to play the Grieg because it's famous and... sweet, all that, and as Rubinstein had to play it, he was a young pianist, he had no choice. He found beauty in every note, and so you can play it kind of cheesy, but you can find unbelievable beauty, and I hope I will.
Of course you will.
Okay.
Your performances are known for their unbelievable beauty. And while I have to say, I do appreciate the flashiness and all of that, but I far prefer those quiet, reflective, contemplative moments in your performances.
I'm glad you agree. Yes. And today, with technology, we Things are too loud. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Things are going too fast, too loud. So I think.
You know, it's interesting. We had Joe Flummerfelt on the show last year while he was here for his residency. And, you know, he made an excellent point about that. And I feel like it's a parallel to a point that you make about pianists today. And that is that he'll say he'll go into guest conduct a choir and they will be impeccably prepared and they're technically flawless and they're perfectly in tune and they look beautiful and they don't sound, you know, you don't want to listen to it because it has no meaning. And he refers to them as sound machines. They're flawless sound, but there's no depth to that at all.
Daniel Barenboim says the same thing. He's astonished how well people, pianists, are playing today. 15 years old. When I was 15, I couldn't play piano like I hear today. But then he's worried. What do they say? Well, they're losing their youth. They didn't live yet. They're playing late Beethoven. They're playing Chopin. Sounds good, but there's something missing. It's hard to explain.
To me, it's the musical equivalent of knowledge versus wisdom. You know, it's one thing to have the technique. At 15, you can play a late Beethoven, and it's, and you know, technically, it's all there. But you don't have the wisdom. You don't have the life experience to bring to it to make it poignant.
I have an anecdote. In Paris, I was Wilhelm Kempf, who was a German pianist, great specialist of Beethoven, old man, white hair, very. He came to do masterclass, and I was going to play early Beethoven sonatas, and I came to the masterclass, and a student, a little bit younger than me, I think, played one of the late Beethoven sonatas. I thought it was very well. I was young, and Wilhelm came with his big German accent, said, "How old are you?" So I said, "I'm 17 or 18. And he looked at him with a very mean look, and he said, "How dare you play late Beethoven sonata in front of me?"
Ah, wow.
So you know what I did? I was panicking. I'm not going to play Beethoven for this guy who's going to destroy me. So I went to my practice room. I pulled out a Bartok piece, which I knew he would never want to hear or never heard. It was Opus 1 of Bartok, a big Liszt-ian piece, which I had in my finger. And he didn't criticize. He said, "Wonderful," and he said goodbye. So I escaped his dirty look.
Survived for another day.
Yeah, I was smart.
So from Grieg, so we go solo recital, then Grieg.
Then we have the Rite of Spring.
Then the Rite of Spring.
2 days before, we're going to do the Rite of Spring with Lorna at IU, at Power Hall. So we're going to do that, which is great. I have to mention that Matthew Balanzuela, our music historian, agreed to do a little 15 minutes presentation.
Ah.
I'm sure he's going to do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be tough to explain the Rite of Spring in 15 minutes, but...
I think he knows what to do.
He'll pull it off.
And I think he has a PowerPoint kind of... and I mentioned the transfer to piano and orchestra and the riot, I think, would interest...
Mm-hmm.
Why Riot? But.
And then your final performance is with the band.
Yeah, the Rhapsody in Blue, which is so famous. I played it very, very often. I think I played all possible versions. Solo, two piano. I played even the original version for a jazz band, a small jazz, which I think is wonderful, but I wish people did it more.
Mm-hmm.
The symphony, which we all know, with a big orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a band version I did before, which was... to my taste, was too heavy for the piano. Now, Craig Paré, who's going to conduct the band, found a new, smaller band version, I think, by the teacher, composer in Eastman, who did a new... The piano part remains the same, and it's a little bit lighter. I'm excited to do that. I think... like, you can see it on YouTube. I forgot the name of the arranger.
Right. I conducted that version a few years ago.
The new one?
Yeah, the new one.
Lighter?
And it's wonderful. It is much lighter, and the pianist can really sing through, so you're going to be terrific.
I look at the score, it's exactly the same. Piano part, at least.
This is going to be a bittersweet year for us as we let you go, but we know you'll still be around. I mean, we still get to keep you, but we won't have you in classes and lessons as we have. We're going to have you back in the spring, as this is our first show of the fall, and we're previewing what's coming up on Music for Life over the year. We're going to have you back in the spring, and I just want to plant this thought in your head now, because I would love for you to tell our listeners about how DePauw and its School of Music has changed over your career. You've been here since 1974. And there have been a lot of changes since 1974. You've been in three buildings.
Yeah, And sadly, my studio has become smaller each time I move. I had the best room in the first old building, high ceiling, two windows on Locust. So if a student was not too good, I could look outside on Locust, on Hannah, and big acoustic, wonderful. Then I moved to the new building around Kresge. It was a little bit smaller. Now I have even a smaller studio, but wonderful acoustics and soundproof, but mm-hmm. I have no room for all my music. So half my music is at home now. So sometimes I'm looking for music for a student and, oh, I have to run home.
So we're hoping that in the spring when you come back, we'll get a little review of the performances that have gone on so far in your in your valedictory year here, and a little history on how DePauw has changed over 40 years. Claude is one of our two senior faculty members that have been here for 40 years, and we hate to see him go, but we're certainly going to give him a big tribute this year as we wrap things
Very
up.
Very nice of you.
Well, thanks for coming in to chat.
From the Producer's Vault, on the recital hour of August 28, 2013, clarinetist Dan Hickey, violinist Jenny Miller, and pianist Rachel Robin performed the movement Möglichst schnell ausgelassen from The Serenade by Waldemar von Balsnern.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Music for Life. We love hearing from listeners. You can contact us by emailing musicforlife@depauw.edu. Our student producers are Anna Gatdula and Matthew Skiba. Our online editor is Veronica Pedrell, and our show is produced and recorded by Matthew Champagne in the Judson and Joyce Green Center for the Performing Arts at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music. Thanks for listening to our show. Keep music in your life and have a great week.
It's Music for Life.